You're listening to the Young Person's Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting with Francesca Furman and friends.
This month's Young Person's Book Review is on the novel Bang Bang, You're Dead by Narinder Dharmi.
The novel's heroine is Mia Jackson, a meek and frightened girl who depends completely on her brother Jamie for support. Or rather, she thinks she does. Mia is trapped between her bipolar mother, who, although cares for her, does nothing to show it, and her larger-than-life brother, who has not only given up on the mother, but also gets furious at Mia for trying to do the right thing. Mia and Jamie have both had a hard upbringing, but it's affected them in different ways. Mia has become very vulnerable from what her childhood has thrown at her, whereas Jamie has become bitter and strong-minded, not caring what people think, and wanting to hurt anyone who upsets himself or Mia.
I have no idea when I first realised Jamie was different. I know that it took me a long time to see it, because we were the same in so many ways. We were babies together, tucked up in our pram, sharing the same blanket. We learned to walk and talk at the same time. We finished each other's sentences, and could often read each other's minds, in the way twins sometimes can. But over the years, I gradually came to understand, with a vague, unspecified feeling of dread, that Jamie wasn't like me. I didn't have the wild streak that was so much part of his character. Jamie's favourite words were, "I dare you, Mia." And when I double-dared him, he would go even further than I had suggested and get himself into extraordinary, dangerous situations. Once, Jamie dared me to open the window of my bedroom 3 floors up and lean right out into space. It sounded very scary to my 6-year-old self, so I immediately double-dared him to open the window and then stand on the ledge. I could have bitten my tongue off even at the very instant I was speaking, because Jamie immediately bounded over to the window and flung it open without a trace of fear. "Watch this, Mia," he said. He climbed up onto the narrow ledge and stood in the open window, the breeze lifting his hair. He leaned forward a little, then glanced back over his shoulder and gave me a cheeky grin. By this time, of course, every nerve in my body was taut with panic. "Get down, Jamie," I wailed, putting my hands over my eyes. "Get down, I'm telling Grandpa." But when I took my hands away again, Jamie had vanished. I was fixed to the spot for a couple of minutes, too terrified even to scream. Whispering his name, I peered outside, heart palpitating, expecting to see a crowd of people gathered around a crumpled body lying on the pavement. But there was no body, and the passers-by were simply going around their ordinary business. Then, suddenly, someone was behind me, and I did scream this time. There was Jamie, his black eyes glittering triumphantly. He had inched his way along the outside ledge, high above the traffic, to the open window of the next room, climbed in, and then strolled back to surprise me. There were other incidents like this, too many to count. But years later, I told Jamie how much he'd frightened me. He just laughed. "I feel really alive when I do dangerous stuff, Mia," he told me. "It's a buzz, an adrenaline rush. You should try it sometime." But Jamie isn't just reckless with his own safety. I think he's hurt other people too. I have no proof, and I've never asked him about the things I suspect. It's so much easier to say nothing. Michael Riley could have been the first. I say could, because I have no proof, you understand.
The novel starts in the future, and the reader is given a glimpse of what'll happen. The rest of the book jumps between past and present. However, even with the hint at the start, you'll never guess the twist that's coming up. Within the first few pages, the reader can gain a decent knowledge of the three main characters. It's also easy to work out that no one would particularly want to be part of that family. Mia runs herself down at every opportunity, saying that she's a wuss and isn't as brave as Jamie. But she risks her life to save her brother or stop him making a big mistake. What she doesn't realise is that putting her life at risk and spending hours planning, finding ways into a locked building, and tricking a potential killer takes skill, bravery, and strong willpower, all traits that Jamie has and Mia wants. Mia talks about her granddad a great deal throughout the novel, and it's clear that she and Jamie were both very close to him. Unfortunately, their granddad died in the year before the novel was set, which is when Mia's mum stopped taking her medication and her bipolar got worse.
As I suspected, the ledge is too narrow for me to balance my feet on properly. Cursing under my breath, wobbling precariously, I try to hold on to the drainpipe, but its smooth round the surface makes it difficult to get a good grip. Still teetering on the ledge, I pull my tie from my waist and loop it round one of the drainpipe's brackets. Then I hang on to it. Having something to hold on to means I can balance on the ledge a little more easily. Once I have stopped wobbling quite so much, I stretch upwards, straining every muscle to extend my arms so that I can grasp the edge of the flat roof. I only get one go at this, I whisper to myself as I flex my fingers. I know there's a strong possibility that if I don't haul myself up at my first attempt, I will unbalance myself and fall backwards off the window ledge. I push all thoughts of falling, hitting my head on the solid concrete, breaking bones out of my head. I let go of the tie as my hands close on the edge of the flat roof. Then I push upwards with all my might. My feet flail in thin air for a moment, and then I find a toehold on the window frame. I manage to raise myself a little higher than the edge of the roof, then pitch forward so that I fall flat onto my stomach. A surge of triumph rushes through me as I scramble awkwardly onto the roof. For a moment I stand there, hands bleeding, savouring my success. Then I realise I'm a sitting target and drop hastily to my knees. The flat roof is filthy, covered with dead leaves and punctured footballs, and strangely, a single old and battered Nike trainer. I reach over the edge and pull my tie free of the drainpipe. Then, keeping low, I shuffle over to the window that I notice below. Unfortunately, it looks even smaller than I first thought. Am I actually going to get through there? I ask myself doubtfully. I won't know until I try. And once again, I'm not exactly overwhelmed with other options. I try to slide my fingers into the narrow gap at the bottom of the window to push it upwards, but it's a tight fit. So I take out the small chisel. The end of the chisel slides smoothly into the gap, fitting perfectly. Then I push on the handle of the chisel as hard as I can, and the window jerks up a little way. I drop the chisel, and now my fingers will fit underneath the window, and I can lever it up. I exert all my strength, and the window moves up, once, twice more. Then it sticks again, and all my efforts won't move it a single centimetre. I bite the insides of my cheek anxiously as I stare at the gap. It's wider than before, but I'm not really sure it's big enough for me to get through. Here I go. I push my bag of tools through the window and drop them gently onto the floor of the lavatory cubicle below me. Then I follow, head first. The gap is small and I'm panicking already. I manage to get my shoulders through, and suddenly I'm halfway in. I put my hands on the cold, white china of the toilets in turn below me and take a breath. Then I begin to wiggle this way and that to get the rest of me through the narrow space. But nothing happens. I strain and I push and I heave, but I do not move. It's just like a comedy film, except this is not funny in any way. I'm like a cork in a bottle. I'm stuck fast.
Throughout the whole novel, you're nervous of what's going to happen next. Who's hiding round the next corner? This feeling is intensified by the constant change between past and present. As the end approaches, you really want everything to end happily, but with the clue given at the beginning, you know something bad is going to happen. But what it is comes as a complete surprise. At the end of the novel, Mia reaches a sudden realisation and the reader feels that too. Dami has written the novel so that the reader feels the same emotions as the heroine. So, just like she finds it impossible to stop going, you will find it impossible to stop reading.
You're listening to the Young Person's Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting with Francesca Furman and friends.
At Roseville, we aim to provide a high-quality, caring environment, not just in the eyes of the regulatory bodies that audit and evaluate the services we provide, but more importantly, in the hearts and minds of the customers who use them, our service users. All service users are assured that they will be treated with respect and dignity according to their individual needs and wishes. Roseville operates a strong diversity policy in respect of residents and is committed to ensuring no one is excluded on the grounds of their ethnicity, religion, or culture. We want service users to have the freedom to live their preferred lifestyle with the choice of independence or participation, individuality or community. Our aim is to provide a level of care and support that meets the needs of the whole person, and by that we mean the physical, psychological, social and spiritual well-being of the service user we care for. But above all, we aim to do all this in a safe, comfortable and homely environment. To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 8188 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Pharmanord is one of Europe's largest pharmaceutical companies, specializing in dietary supplements and herbal medicines. With almost 30 years of experience, our company, based in Denmark, has an unbeatable record with introducing drugs that can benefit your bodily well-being. We have everything you could need to keep your body in top condition, including essentials like vitamin C to ward off scurvy, and if the sun isn't shining, there is also vitamin D. We also sell a variety of minerals. And of course, our original product, still going strong after 25 years, BioSelenium plus Zinc. For exterior happiness, our Avel tablets have a proven track record in making your skin, nails, and hair look better than they ever did before. For more information, phone 01670-519989 or email uksales@pharmanord.com. Pharmanord. Pharmaceutical nutrition and medicine based on scientific research.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical, and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential elderly, EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 30 81 88 or email us at info@rosevillecarecentre.com.
Roseville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
It's the Young Person's Book of the Month with Francesca Furman and friends.
I thought this book was really good, to be honest. I thought it was quite freaky, actually. I was quite worried of what was going to happen. I mean, it was kind of like, ooh, what's going to happen? You find out in the first page that it's going to have a bad ending, and then you're like, how is it going to end? What's going to happen? What about you?
I agree totally. For me, it grabbed your attention right from the very first page. And it was one of those books that once I'd started it, I couldn't put it down, which was a little bit annoying, being that the time of the day I was reading, it was very late at night and I just wanted to go to sleep and I couldn't. I found it kept me at the edge of the seat, particularly at the part where she's breaking into the school, because you expected the killer to come along at any moment.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, what are you doing? This is crazy. Just leave now.
Did you at any time suspect that Jamie wasn't real?
No, I think I realised it about a line before Mia realised it. But I found it really weird that, you know, she was such a sweet little innocent character, but I did think it was a bit weird when she attacked her teacher, and that kind of was so unlike her personality traits that I thought, that's a bit weird. She must be more like him than she thinks, but I didn't think it was like it was. So
yes.
It's quite effective.
And the way that they built all of the characters up, though, so you've got a real picture of the mother and of Mia and of Jamie, which, of course, is what every good author does. But I thought that was really interesting. They drew you into the characters. So I felt that you were actually going through the same emotions as they were
as you went throughout the book. I found it quite scary the way the author, you know, produced things as if something bad was going to happen, like when Mia was going through the school corridor and she suddenly heard footsteps, but it was just the TV. And I thought that was quite weird, and it was quite like, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, it's just the TV. And then something else had happened, and you were just like, when's it going to be the actual thing?
Did you find, though, when she was actually pursuing the killer, when she actually got into the school, that you were trying to say to her, no, stop, don't, particularly when she was, like, hiding, was she suspended from a rail or something?
Yeah, she was at the end.
I thought that was, you know, you almost wanting to cry at her, don't do that, you know, just get away. And, of course, like every... I suppose every parent's normal instinct would be to stop the children going into danger, but she had no fear. She was just determined she was going to go in there and, to all intents and purposes, save Jamie.
But I suppose with a mother who was bipolar and didn't really give her much attention, she wouldn't really know... Well, obviously, as you can see, even a child could see that that's dangerous, but I don't think she cared as much. I think she was more like, Jamie's all I've got, and if I lose him, there's no point in me even being here. So she was kind of just, I'm saving him. And, you know, it was quite, oh, no, don't. And then when she went out and she thought the killer had moved on, and then it was a bit of a twist and she was like, uh-oh, I'm going to have to hide here, and just ran.
Yeah. Now, what was it her granddad said to her on his deathbed? So be careful of Jamie or some words to that effect, something like that.
He said, Jamie, Mia, be careful. Yes. And then he died, and she didn't realise if he was saying... to both of them, be careful of, or he was saying, Mia, be careful of Jamie. And it was a bit, I still don't know what he was going to say.
Well, that's because Dami, like, sort of plays with the readers, doesn't she? And plays little jokes on you, so you don't quite know where she's coming from. That obviously all builds into the suspense and
I think from my perception, he was, like, he'd figured out what was going on in Mia's head, and he was trying to tell her to be careful not to make it too real, because... obviously, she was going to end up hurt, like she almost did.
Yeah.
And it was just in the nick of time that everything came a bit more together. So, go on.
No, I was going to say, I got the impression that they did actually know what was going on, that she was sort of having Jamie there as a real person. When he actually wasn't, when just a figment of imagination as such, that he was still alive.
Yeah, it kind of confused me how obvious she made it, in a way, but then, you know, how people weren't seeming to bother about it, because obviously, yes, a child has an imaginary friend, but when it gets to the point that it was getting with her, it's kind of a bit like, hang on a minute, something's wrong. But yeah, I mean, did you think there was any negatives to the book? I mean,
crumbs, not really. I mean, I just couldn't put it down all the way through. And particularly at the end, it's quite heartwarming, it's quite moving when she realised that she was ill and that she was going, you know, she was going to get better in the end. But that sort of really moved you.
Yeah.
Negatives, not for me. I just loved it.
Yeah, I must admit, I was kind of getting, the way it goes past and present and past and present, I liked it, but I was just getting towards the point where I thought it was going to become a little bit annoying, but then it stopped doing it and I was like, oh, it's all right then.
Yeah, now that's a good point, actually, because I must admit, I was tempted to just read all of the present parts because you just got onto the edge of your seat and then they took you back in the next chapter to the past, and then the next chapter came back again to the present.
Yes.
And I did have that little... desire to just read all of the present parts, but I wouldn't have gone as far as to say that that was a negative or that it spoiled it for me.
No, I mean, it didn't in the end. I just think if it had gone on much longer, I probably would have got a bit like, oh, come on. But I mean, I think one of my favourite parts was when she was under the covers and she was describing it as the fetal, you know, like position.
She was the fetal position. Right, okay, yeah, okay.
I knew what I meant, you know. Never mind, it's spelt fatal. Okay. But yes, but anyway, what about marks out of 10? What would you give it?
Oh, crumbs. Well, can you give something 10 out of 10? I'll go for 9 out of 10.
I think I'm going to go for 9.5 because I think, you know, I don't think there's much that could be improved. Okay. Anyway, next month's book of the month will be White Crow by Marcus Sedgwick. And if you out there have any idea for novels we can review, just send in your ideas to info@southsideradio.com or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/southsidebroadcasting. So that's it from us today.
Bye! Bye.
It's the Young Person's Book of the Month with Francesca Furman and friends.